When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You want to introduce our guests?
Sure.
Who's going to start?
Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of the Speaking Podcast. This version, hashtag speaking comedy. I'm Bill Spadia. Make sure, you know what? We're going to pause right now just real quick for a sponsor. We have a couple new sponsors in 2018. Rob Dukansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. You can reach him at 855-350-1015 or online at robsellsnj.com. True story, Rob sold my house in 3 days. I spent a lot of time in real estate. I'm a licensed broker in a few states, and I can tell you, Rob Dukansky is the best. We're happy to have him on board, Speaking Millennial. Our other big sponsor for 2018, CSI Group. The CSI Group, you can reach them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS or csicpa.com. This is a family business, but they've got locations all over New York and New Jersey, and I'm going to tell you, taxes are too complicated to go it alone. Don't think that you're going to go online and just plug and play and get it done. You don't want to have a letter from the IRS a couple years after you file your taxes and find out you made a big mistake. And the CSI Group will give you a free consultation. So all you got to do is call them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS and they will help you out. Remember, you don't know what you don't know. I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com. There's a lot of really cool stuff about our new sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. And I could tell you about all of it. I could tell you how great it tastes. I could tell you how it's the best way to relax after a hard day. I could tell you that it's distilled from corn, so it's gluten-free. I could tell you that it's made right here in America, in Texas. And not just Texas, the best part of Texas, Austin. It's the best part of Texas. I tell you the thing I love most about Tito's Handmade Vodka. They use old-fashioned pot stills and they taste test every batch. It's the same way that they make fine single malt scotches and high-end French cognac. Why is this amazing? Well, it's amazing because, as John F. Kennedy said, we don't go to the moon because it's easy. We go to the moon because it's hard. And this is a harder way to make vodka, but it makes for better vodka. That's why it's handmade vodka, and that's why you got to go out and get Tito's Handmade Vodka right now.
You annoy me every time.
I know.
Every
I can't help. Look, it's every about time. The sponsors, Jay. Yeah, it's about the sponsors.
I love the sponsors. Don't get me wrong. The sponsors are my favorite part of this podcast,
yeah,
Bill.
Yeah, that's true.
But when you pause like that, now I have to search through the whole podcast to find the little break to insert them.
No, that was a break. I gave you a break.
Are you doing it on purpose? Break.
Here's why.
Now he's doing it on purpose.
Let me explain.
Here, can we introduce our guest?
And then all right. Then we'll do it. Okay.
All right. First off, I it's not often in this podcast because I feel like, you know, you bring on Troy Moore, who's here,
and he
talks at length about what a great mentor I am, how I help him through, how he met me, and he was nothing, and I raised him up like a worm.
That's what he told me the same thing.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
No, you did. I get
to say... Yeah. That I am bringing on an actual mentor of mine to the comp. This is the first time. Usually it's people that I have raised up. This man found me when I was but an open micer.
Yeah.
When I was but the nothing.
How old are you? Wait, is that picture?
That's the cover picture
for this podcast.
Actually, only like 2 years ago. That was, you know, I've gone up and down and weighed a lot. But this is Andy Scarpati, the owner and operator of the legendary Comedy Cabaret Comedy Clubs. They're all over the place.
I feel like we should clap.
Yeah, let's clap. Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
A guy who would tell me things like, he would whisper in my ear, you're not looking left enough. Right? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you say, no, when you're on stage, you always look right. You got to look left. People on the left. But when I talk to people about comedy and they go, why do you care so much about the minutia of what you do up there? This is the guy that taught me that.
Thank you very much. Now, I don't know if this is going to be good if I say this. I also taught Steve Trevelise, so I don't know if that gets me anywhere.
Let's stop the podcast. Come on. It's over.
Yeah, I know. So that could be a problem. But I just figured I'd mention that since you know him.
Steve Trevelise, friend of the podcast, been on many times, and he's our podcast friend.
Yeah, and right now, as you mentioned, we're at the luxurious green room here at the Comedy Cabaret, and the particular room that we're in is green, and it's carpeted, and there's free water. And actually, the room next door, we have the sauna and the massage therapist, so that will take place after this podcast.
I've been coming here more than a decade. Never knew about the massage and sauna.
Well, Lisa, she's great. Great hands.
Yeah. Was the Mexican food just for Keen?
Only certain
people. Yeah, just for Keen.
Just throwing it out there.
Right. Keen is out.
I saw the food.
And I got my wife here, too. We should probably throw that in.
Chris is here.
Yeah.
Wait, Chris's last podcast was at Jessica's wedding.
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, really? Yes.
How
far we've come.
Thank you.
We actually podcasted at...
Literally at the wedding, Andy. Yeah. We weren't sure if it was appropriate or not, but we sat down to dinner, and I'm like, I think we should do a podcast.
I think it's your wife, actually, that...
Was it Jody?
Jody's
Are we blaming her because she's
Let's
not here?
Let's do it.
Yeah, that's it. All right, there you go.
There's a moment. His wife is, you wouldn't guess it from looking at Bill, but his wife is very... regal, even-tempered, attractive woman, classy woman.
She was stirring the pot.
And Bill turned to her and said, "What do you think? Should we do it?" And I was expecting 100%. We were going to get no. Let's please keep the decorum of the wedding. And she went, "Let's do it." Just like that. All right, let's.
And we were off, and that was it.
Yeah. Jody stirring the pot. Who would have thought?
So, all right. How long ago was that picture? That was 2 years ago.
That was only 2 years.
We're looking at that picture of. Mr. J. Black.
Wow, yes, that's a bad picture.
That is a very bad picture.
I like it because to me it epitomizes comedy. Notice he's looking to the right. I told him he's looking to the left too much. So that's why he's looking to the right in that picture.
Baby, I love you, but how many chins do you have in that picture?
A lot.
Well, you grew the beard, Jay. Yeah. You grew the beard. Yeah.
I grew the beard.
I don't know if those listening to this podcast have seen Jay and his beard now, but it definitely, honestly, looks very distinguished. And
thank you.
I only say that because I have nothing else to say at the time. But seriously, he does look very good.
You should see him with the Armani Exchange glasses that he now wears.
Where are they?
It is what it is. It's very impressive.
It says AX on it because I play a lumberjack in the orchard.
You guys have probably heard this before, that the DJs or the hosts have a face for radio. But you guys are really the exception, and Jessica is gorgeous.
Oh,
you know, no, you wouldn't really expect that because I've seen a lot of DJs. I've been on a lot of radio stations over the years, and
there's a lot of
they look more like Steve.
People.
You know what I'm saying?
We are making radio great again.
Right. Yes.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Making radio great. That's what we're doing. Jay doesn't know what to say. Jay's digesting that.
I just wanted to make sure that Troy understood we were not talking about you.
I was waiting for my name.
I just had a revelation that Troy is not Italian.
Yeah, I'm not.
No, he's from Jersey.
He's got the You're never in the room when I do my sets, Bill.
I leave. That's it.
You got to stick around.
I stick around to get paid, and then I go. That's kind of how it works, right?
Yeah, not Italian at all.
You're not.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
No,
he does look it. He does have the look. Definitely has the look for it. And I was very surprised that he wasn't. He's like Irish or something?
Yeah, Irish. Irish and Polish.
Wow.
I feel like it's entirely possible.
Digest that for me.
You might only be one generation Irish. Yeah. I think that you had a Sicilian ancestor who was caught stealing horses and said, I'm going to go to Ireland. And when he got there, everybody was like, hey, Vinnie Pavoloni, you're from here? And he was like, yeah, I'm Irish.
Sure,
I'm Irish.
Hey, I'm an Irishman, just like you guys. And then, like, he left, and when he got to Ellis Island, they were like, where are you from? And he was like,
Ireland,
of course, right.
That's my great-great-great-grandfather. Yeah.
Right, I'm Johnny O3 Fingers. and then you now think you're Irish, but you are not at all. You should do 23andMe. Yes. I bet you it comes
like
up.
Like Ancestry.com. Yeah, I do have that.
Right, and you're...
I'm Japanese.
Yes.
Yes. I know, it's weird.
What percentage?
You have some...
Well, a very small percentage.
You serious?
But he uses
I am less than 1%, but I do use chocolate. There is a drawer... In our utensil drawer at home, we have a separate slot for chopsticks. I don't like the whole metal fork thing when it comes to salad.
And if they don't give you enough at the sushi place, then you've got at home chopsticks.
I went and people have bought them for me as gifts. I like the wood as opposed to the metal.
I didn't know this either.
It's a little weird. Well, I know. Yeah. I get it.
Do you use it for like spaghetti
for everything.
Or only
really? Yeah, I know. It's weird.
What?
I've eaten lasagna with chopsticks.
Really?
Yeah. I really have.
Bill, you can use one of them to even cut. And yet you're Italian.
Well, I'm 17% Italian, according to 23andMe.
Okay. How do you think that works?
But I'm also 40% generally Southern European. So I call
it. It's vague. It gives you the area. It's right. Not the exact country.
You're going to come up less than 1%.
I actually did it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But then I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. If I find that out, it's like.
I recently did it and I came up 20% human. So I'm not sure what the rest is, but I'm looking forward to
finding out. We're all still working on that.
We should probably interview our guest. Andy, I'm curious.
I'm busy right now. Sorry.
How long have you been the owner and operator?
Well, this particular location, we're in Doylestown right now. I've been here, 32 years this April in this particular spot. But I actually started doing stand-up comedy in the late 70s. I was an elementary education teacher at the time, teaching sixth grade, Pensbury School District. And, I just kind of started dabbling in comedy. And then I had the summers off. So it was interesting. The summer of between 78 and 79, I was in California. This is a pretty interesting story comedy-wise. So there was a comedy club in Newport Beach called the Newport Beach Comedy Club. Wait till you hear this. So I went to the comedy club, and I asked the owner if he put me on. I've only done, like, you know, some open stage nights. Yeah. I said, I'm from Philly, and I was here, and like, would you please put me on? And he said, no. So the next night I went up, and now the acts changed, okay? So I wasn't totally sure who the comedians were. And he's like, would you put me on for 5 minutes? He says, yeah, okay, you can do 5 minutes tonight. You know, so I go, great. So the MC was a guy named Frank Walker. He does impressions. The middle act was David Letterman. And the closing act was Jay Leno. I am not kidding. And that's the first time I met. Wow. I met you, Mr. Letterman. I have to say, he was not very friendly.
I would imagine
he was really like, hey, how you doing? He goes, but Jay, I go, Jay, how you doing? I'm a comedian from Philly, and instantly, oh yeah, blah 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 blah. and he started like helping me out. He started coaching me after he saw me.
That's awesome.
And I work on your material and all that kind of stuff, and it was great. And then I developed a little relationship with Jay. And it just by coincidence, he was going to be on The Tonight Show the following night, okay, which was Friday.
Wow.
And I was already planning to go to The Tonight Show. So my friend and I, my friend that lives in California, we went to The Tonight Show. I said, Jay, I'm gonna be there tomorrow night. Maybe I'll see you. He goes, oh, yeah. So we get to the Tonight Show. In those days, you had to wait in line. This is kind of an interesting story if you're into, you know, entertainers. So we're waiting in line, and we made friends with the page. You know, the page that comes out.
Right.
And I go through the page and I start joking around with them. We start doing Steve Martin lines. It was really hot at the time. So the page goes, hey, I'm going to get you guys in. So he got us front row seats for Johnny Carson. We're sitting there. I had never been to the Tonight Show before. And I go, I know Jay Leno. I met him last night. I go, I know Jay Leno. I go, tell him Andy Scarpati's here, the comedian he met last night. Yeah. I go, maybe, could you get me backstage? So he comes back and he goes, yeah, Jay said you come back after the show.
Wow.
So this all happened like, you know, within 24 hours. So they introduced Johnny Carson. Anyone that's listening to this knows who Johnny Carson. He was the epitome of show business and entertainment. I mean, you know, he really was the best at hosting the Tonight Show ever. I don't think anybody's in his league. And anybody that's seen it will agree with
it. Late night host ever. I would go, he
late night host ever. No question about it. So he's like, I'm sitting in the front row. Carson comes out. I have goosebumps on my stage. And then afterwards, we hang out. I get to see Jay. I'm talking to Jay for a couple minutes. I just met him the night before. You know? And he goes, okay, I got to leave. So he leaves. And then all of a sudden, the crew changes. And they started doing the new Laugh-In show. Here comes Robin Williams.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm sitting in the seat. I'm watching Robin Williams in a new Laugh-In show. And I'm like, oh, this is just incredible. So we're hanging around. I met James Garner, who was a guest on the new Laugh-In show. I start talking to James Garner, and he goes, who are you? I go, I'm a teacher. Like, you know, there was no security.
Right.
I was just sticking. It was 1979. I was making friends with everybody, but since that, I had
developed... You didn't say, I'm a friend of Jay's.
I should have. Thanks, Bill. I should have said that. But anyway, so then I developed a relationship with Jay, and then I started hiring Jay as soon as I opened my first club in 1980 in Delaware. Jay came out. He played for us a couple times at the Comedy Cabaret in Delaware. And then when he came in and did the bigger shows, bingo. He played the one of the theaters. I would show up. I'd get good seats. I'd get to say hi to Jay. And consequently, when he got the Tonight Show, this was great. Whenever I got to California, ever wanted to come back, I got carte blanche. They give me the green room, not only with water, but food.
Wow.
Food. There's no food in a screen room, okay?
No.
There would be food. And the first class seats, it was awesome. He's a great guy, loves comedians.
If I could just say, this is the most dangerous story that has ever been told on this podcast, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because people listening at home are going to think, well, this is what happens when you go to California, obviously.
Yes.
You go out there,
you make friends with
the five legends of comedy, and then you're just hanging out at the green room forever. That's awesome. Just what happens when you go to California.
Well, now we're the legends of the radio, right? 101.
Yeah.
There you go.
The legends of 101.5 is Jim Gerhart and Bill. That's it.
The legends.
But yeah, wow, no, that's an amazing story. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's the comedy business is great. I've had some... interesting stories over the years.
Who are some of the best comics, other than Troy and myself, that you've had through here?
Through Comedy Cabaret? Bill Maher.
Wow.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, nice. Bill Maher. Let's see.
Kevin James, right?
Kevin James.
You have the
Kevin
video.
James. Yeah, Kevin James is a great guy. He, to show you what a great guy he is, he sent me a video for my website. He's making $20 million a movie. He sent me a little shout-out video. He goes, hi to my friend Andy Scarpati. When he worked for me, he was a great guy. He puts on a great show.
No,
it's on
kidding.
The website, of course, yeah. He makes $20 million a movie.
Yeah.
He took the time to do
He's
that.
He's a real guy.
He's a great human being. Always was a great human being. Always was great. Rogan, Joe
clubs?
Rogan. Joe Rogan played for us.
No kidding.
He was.
You had him when he still had hair, I bet.
Yeah, yes. And he was really dirty.
How many clubs are you?
Well, right now I just have this room here, and we have a show in Northeast Philly.
Northeast, okay.
Yeah, but I do some shows in South Jersey at the Landmark. There's a room that I use to do some shows there, and I was just talking to Jim about that earlier, that we could, you know, like to book you guys in there.
We love it.
To do some shows there.
We love it.
I think that would be like right in your wheelhouse, that part of South Jersey.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that place could be a back.
Right. At the height of the comedy boom in the 80s, a lot of people know this, we talk about the boom years and stand-up.
Yeah.
From like 1979 to 1989?
Well, no. It started, my first club opened in 1980, and I was the first one, and then there was a second one, and there was a few. But by the early 1990s, I had 10 comedy clubs like this.
No kidding.
From everywhere, from Harrisburg, Fort Washington, every strip, Willow Grove, every exit of the PA Turnpike. We were in Mount Laurel. We were in Cherry Hill. I mean,
Cherry Hill?
We were at the Hyatt.
At the Hyatt.
It was the Hyatt Regency. Yeah, it was the Hyatt Regency.
Right,
now
right.
It's now
on
it's
the way to Camden, Route 70.
Yeah. Now it's not the Hyatt. Now it's the...
Crown Plaza.
That's it,
Thank you, Jessica.
Jay actually proposed
to me. Wait, didn't
we
play there?
Right?
That's what Jay proposed to you?
Jay proposed to me at
Cherry Hill Comedy Club.
Yeah?
No kidding.
I brought her up on stage.
I was going to say, while you were performing?
Yeah.
I brought her up on stage. Nice. I performed.
That was my room. That was my room at the time.
No kidding.
Yes,
I wanted to set the standard for what our relationship was going to be like.
Yeah.
All about you?
No,
it was very thoughtful. He made sure that everyone knew about it.
Well,
so
I said that I told her that there was a talent scout coming to see me, which she believed because she's very,
very gullible.
And then I called all of her friends and relatives ahead of time and said, I'm going to propose.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
My wife kept coming to me, her girlfriend at the time, she was like, it's amazing. Everyone I ask says, yes, they can make your show. I can't believe it. So literally everybody in the audience is one of her.
Very
time members.
Did you guys videotape it?
I don't know if we did.
No, we did.
It was olden times.
When was that?
Was it for cell phones? What year was it? What year was it? It was like 95?
2003.
Oh, 2003.
I mean, videotape existed.
We did kind of have cell phones.
We had like Blackberries then.
Not really.
What did we have then?
Nothing, really.
We had a flip phone.
Actually, I had a
Razor.
Right. If you wanted a
video. The Razor. Yes,
Motorola Razor.
What you did was. I love that phone.
You used the Motorola Razor to call somebody with a video camera to come over and film.
You could have done that, yes.
Hey, I got something great.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to give away if someone wants to do that. Here's
me. This was the, I did the Northeast open mic. That's the first open mic I ever did.
Yeah.
And John Kensel saw me.
Yeah.
The famous John Kensel.
Yeah,
we worked with John.
We worked with John.
Yeah. Said,
at Comedy Co.
Friend of the podcast.
John Kensel. Went, you're pretty good. I'm going to tell Andy about you.
Yeah.
And everything got started.
Yeah, then you started in Cherry Hill.
I did.
And if I recall, you worked on a regular basis in Cherry Hill for a while. Didn't you like MC every weekend or something?
I MC'd pretty much every weekend at the Cherry Hill Cabaret.
I would like to say this. For those of you listening that have never seen Jay do stand-up, and I'm not saying this because he's here, he is genuinely one of the best stand-ups. I'm serious. Aww. I'm not kidding.
Aww.
He is one of the best pure...
First.
I don't care. I don't care. He's one of the best pure stand-ups I have ever seen. I'm not kidding. He is, and I've seen a lot of comedians. We just prefaced that by all the years I've been doing this.
Right.
He genuinely is absolutely. That's why we booked him for New Year's Eve. He is absolutely one of the best in this region, as just pure stand-up. There's other guys that might be just a bit funnier, but they do different things. They're not just pure stand-up.
What makes him the best?
I love his delivery.
Because he loves what he's doing.
Yeah, his delivery. His delivery, if you've seen him, you have. It's the boom, 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 boom. It's rapid fire. And here's what happens. Like, you're laughing at something, and then sometimes you can't hear the next joke, and then you're laughing again, and it's continuous laughter. And when a comedian can do that, a lot of guys cannot do that, you know, at this level, really. So, okay, so I plugged Jay pretty good.
Wow, I appreciate that. I'm just going to say... Yeah.
Is Mike, Bill, how's Bill at stand-up?
He's you know, not as good as me.
The words are coming to me.
No, you know what? Are very good at stand-up. I've seen a lot of comedy shows. Bill's great.
Yeah,
I'm a critic, because he's dragged me to so many clubs.
Oh, yeah, good.
I'm different, though.
That's good.
A little more storytelling.
Yeah, that's good. Storytelling is good. That's what Larry Miller used to do. Storyteller. I don't know if you remember Larry Miller. He was really good.
I was telling Andy ahead of time that you... But I just want to say, before I go on, I'm glad that my therapist and I worked on accepting compliments. That would have been great. I don't know if you saw, I was just staring at the ground.
You were good.
Thank
you. You handled that really well.
Yes.
No.
I was going to say, I just want to tell you one other comedy story that is very memorable for me, and I do share it with comedians. I don't know if I ever told you this, but this is true. So in the early 1980s, it was like 1984 or 82, I was in New York City because, I don't know if I told you this or not, but I had studied acting and all that kind of stuff. I was auditioning for stuff when early up with commercials, blah, blah, blah. So I went to New York City for an audition, but at the time I had two comedy cabarets at the time. So I had passed my audition at the Comic Strip in New York City, which is on like First Avenue and 7th Avenue. So when I was there working my way up, you had Dennis Miller would be in there. Mr. Jerry Seinfeld would be
Seinfeld
in there.
Right.
Larry Miller.
Comic Strip Live, right? On the east side.
Yeah, Comic Strip. Yeah, Comic Strip Live. So I stopped in. I passed there, but I stopped in to see the show. Now, it was a Wednesday night. It was snowing. It was middle December.
Ugh.
There was 12 people in this comedy club. 12. Now, wait till you hear this. This is an interesting story, comedically. Okay? So the first guy goes up, like Larry Miller, great comedian.
Right.
No. Nothing. Bill McCarty goes up, great comedian. Nothing. Joe Bolster goes up, great comedian. Nothing. Then comes Jerry Seinfeld. Now, it's the same 12 people, and I swear to God, this is what happened. Within about a minute, we were all laughing. No, like all of a sudden, I'm laughing. Like I forgot there was nobody in the room.
Right.
I'm just laughing with him. And he did his 15, 20-minute set. It was over. We all laughed. He got off stage. The next act came up, nothing.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell just happened? How could one person make 12 people laugh? And I go, what did he do? And the only thing that I came away with is somehow, some way, he communicated to me that he genuinely cared if I laughed. I don't know how he did it.
Right.
I don't know what he did. But I just, I mean, I've seen him, and I just loved what the guy did because he's so clean and clever.
Right.
And so that's my Jerry Seinfeld story.
Wow.
12 people laughing is unheard of in comedy.
Right.
I've never seen anybody else do it in my entire life. But he did it.
It's very tough with a small crowd.
Yeah, so he's probably a notch above Jay stand-up comedy-wise, but he's a different style.
I feel like that's
debatable.
Different style.
I would debate that.
He's a different style.
No,
but Jay's style, the way he works his style, is one of the best.
We had 7 once.
Seven people, yes.
Seven people.
You did seven?
We had seven people.
Where was that?
It was rough.
Parks? I don't
yeah.
We probably shouldn't say
we probably shouldn't say yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Parks is here. Thanks, Jessica.
No.
Not the sponsor at this moment.
All right, listen, I'm not trying to top you, but one time I performed in front of one person. Now, here's why. I was a late nighter at the Comic Strip in New York, and what that meant is after all the regular acts went on, they allowed you to go up. Right. And I swear to God, there was one guy, and I had to go up and try to do stand-up with one guy. And it was really weird. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, you know.
What do? You adjust? Yeah. You just roll through.
No. You know what you do? You just go, look, you just hope the guy's going to laugh. I wanted to just go down and tickle him. You know, I didn't. Right. You know, I didn't.
Can I tell you my story about doing two?
Yeah.
So I was performing at a club. I get there, and...
What club was it?
It was Uncle Vinny's. Up in,
what night was it?
Point Pleasant.
Oh, it was at the Shore.
Yeah, it was like a Thursday, I guess.
And only two people?
So it was in the beginning, when he first started, even before he did the expansion.
Okay.
If you've ever been out there, it was in the small room. So I get there, and he's like, two people.
Yeah.
I sent home the MC and the feature, and he paid me.
Wow.
And he said, go home. And I was like, well, you paid me. Are the two people that are there, do they want a show?
What a great guy. He paid you.
Right, he paid me. It never awesome. Happened.
Did he pay the other acts too?
I guess so. I don't
know.
Wow,
that's really
sweet.
So
he pays
me.
And I go, well, you paid me, so I'm here. Do they want a show? And they went, yeah, kind of, we would love a show. So I sat at their table.
Oh,
I just told them stories.
Oh.
Now, Andy, you want to hear what a douchebag I am?
Oh.
I went long. I was killing. I was killing. These people loved me. And the waitress walks by behind me and goes, they can't see. She tapped her watch. You're with the light in me.
Now, the reason that's so funny, folks, is because in the comedy business, each comic has a certain amount of time, and they got to stick to the time because we're on a schedule. So right. For him to sit at a table and go long, I mean, to me, that's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story.
It was
asking them questions as well? Are you kind of talking to them?
I just said, well, I took my bits, and I turned them into like, oh, here's another funny thing. I don't know if you guys ever thought about this, but like sometimes me and my wife, and then I just go into a bit. But it was
awesome.
Just pure conversation. It was like I was
awesome,
doing panel on a talk show.
Oh, he must have fell in love with you after that, the owner.
Oh, we it was very nice, except when I went long, he was not too happy with me there. It was like, and I was so naive because I had just started closing.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm like, I'm sure that waitress hates my guts. Because these people, she's going to make a $3 tip on the dinner. I'm like, what a jerk. So I got a nice story out of it, but I'm sure that, you know.
She still hates you.
Right
she's
now,
also
on the floor.
Got a
right
very
now,
very angry story.
I don't want to say anything, but if he was a really nice guy, he would have tipped the waiter, but a waitress.
Yeah,
but he
right?
didn't.
She's got her podcast right now. You can find her pissedoffwaitress.com. It's just that story told again and again and again. And another reason why I hate Jay.
Now, you going long is not really surprising. Is it, Bill and Jessica?
No, not even
long. I always stuck in my time. How dare you?
Yeah. It's the people who talk to you on a job as part of the
it's
podcast.
It's the real reason why he headlines and we just let him go.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to have to go after him. Like, oh, come on.
I've said this on the podcast before, Andy. I'll say it for you. My wife has a great summation of me, which is, Jay, you are the most fascinating person in the world. For 5 minutes. And then you keep going. And you become increasingly less fascinated.
He's feeling bad. He's feeling bad. You're breaking this man's heart. He's a mentor.
So she goes, just get in, get out, and everyone will love it.
Yeah.
Get in, get out.
What did I say yesterday?
Huh?
That a lot of people, I'm sure, find me annoying after 5 minutes, and that's why we get along so well.
That's right. Uh-huh. Yes, we are, right. I thought you were going to say that thing you said, no, stop, not right now.
Oh, not that.
Okay, just making sure. I'm just checking the time.
I probably have to wrap up.
We should probably wrap up.
All right, so Andy, where do people find you? It's comedycabaret.com?
Comedycabaret.com.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter, at Bill Spady, or follow Jessica, at Chasing Jess Nut. Follow Troy. Troy, what do you follow?
Troy _ Moore on Twitter.
Troy _ Moore.
Wait, why did you say that like Fonzie?
He did. He was like... Because he's Italian.
He's Italian.
I'm too big.
To do the 23 and me.
The proof to come back.
You can find me at inandoutin5minutes.com or at pissedoffwaitress.org.
Oh, yeah, I never have a problem going long.
Oh, boy.
I was wondering if it was going to take long time. I wasn't sure.
Just a matter of time.
But seriously, folks, find Andy online and come see his shows. This guy has meant the world to me, and you guys can't go wrong at a Comedy Cabaret show.
Comedy Cabaret show. Thank you.
That was
awesome.